Let's pray. Father God, it's all about you. We sing that and we cry out to you. And Lord, it's more than just singing that. We want to live that. And Lord, as we gather together on this start of a new year, God, it's hard to believe it's 2006. But for you, God, you just want to spend each day with us, and we want to spend each day with you. Because it's all about you. It has nothing to do with us. Father, we come together as your people, as your children, encompassing the family of God. And we pray for each other, God, and we pray for the hurts, we pray for healing, we pray, God, for our physical, our emotional well-being, and God, we know that there are many, many who need just a fresh touch from you today. God, there may be some here who need that fresh touch, and there are others, Lord, who couldn't be here today. And they might be, Lord, they may be on holidays. We know there's quite a few away. Lord, we know that there's quite a few who just aren't feeling well. And so we pray for your healing touch upon them. And we pray that you give to the doctors wisdom as they treat each individual, God. We know, Lord, that you care about us as your people. And we are excited that we can come today on this new year and approach your throne together. And Lord, as we do that, we pray that as a church that we will be obedient to you through this new year. God, we want nothing more than to do what you want us to do. And so, Lord, we renew our commitment to you as a church. We come before you right now and we say that it's all about you. It's nothing to do with us. And we just want to move, Lord, the way you want us to move. We want you, Lord, to guide our thoughts, to give us wisdom, to give us strength. Lord, empower us as your people. We pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be present among us and to fill us, God, so that this year we can maintain our obedience to you. Father, we pray as the Muhammad family who are still waiting for their date to arrive here, we pray for them. We pray that, Lord, you would keep them safe, that you bring them to us safely. And Lord, that each of the details will be sorted out according to your plan. Because God, we await their arrival with us. We pray, Lord, for the revival that's coming up. And we pray that revival will occur. We pray that revival would happen even right here, God. Right within our own hearts. And we just pray that as the Sotera twins come, that Lord, already you're preparing the city of Prince Albert for that event. Lord, there are so many other things that we could come to you about, but we know it's about you. And so we just want to sit here and we want to drink you in. And Lord, we just want to be filled by you. So we're overflowing so that we can tell others about who you are, God, through who we are. We just pray now your blessing upon your word and the rest of our time together as we celebrate together this new year. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, worship team. How many of you are awake this morning? All right, I can see I got a little bit of a challenge ahead of me. All right. How many of you stayed up till this morning? All right, that's a lot of hands went up. Good. Well, I want to say, first of all, on behalf of the staff, I want to say thank you for the Christmas gifts this year. We were really blessed and tremendously blessed by your grateful hearts, and it was great. We went shopping and had some fun. It was a lot of fun. I just got to say thank you from the staff, I mean, for what you've done for us. You always bless the socks off us, and you know, I wore socks today. I was tempted to take them off just to show you that they're gone, but... It's great. Well, you look back on the year 2005, and as you look back and you think of your year, it's easy for us to see the hand of God through much excitement. We note, first of all, the effects of Hurricane Katrina, the devastation of New Orleans and Mississippi, and various other turbulent weather systems affecting much of North America in one way or another. And as well, you could probably, you know, continue to count endlessly all the breakups and marriages in Hollywood. I mean, a person can do that through any given year. And But it's no matter what, if you look back on the year 2005, you have to take one thought or just one event and just think about it for a moment. And don't shut it out, but you got a hold of it. Do you have a hold of it? All right. And you can see, though, how God had his hand in everything that you walked through in 2005. He has. Amen? Now, I came up with the years, I came across this, year's best actual headlines in a given year. Okay, and this is in one year. And I want you to listen. Listen very carefully. These are actual headlines. All right? You got this? These are actual. Police begin campaign to run down jaywalkers. Iraqi head seeks arms. Did you get that? Yeah, okay, good. You're awake. Miners refuse to work after death. War dims hope for peace. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? If strike isn't settled quickly, it may last a while. Now, that's very thought-provoking. You know, I would have failed English class for that one. I think I would have. Cold wave linked to temperatures. Listen, I love this. Red tape holds up new bridges. Who's going to drive on that one? Chef throws his heart into helping feed needy. That's almost gross. And here's the winner, actually. The winner is typhoon rips through cemetery, hundreds dead. Oh, boy. That's something. Year 2005. You look back on the year 2005, it was a faith adventure as many, many people walked through the year 2005. We walked through the year 2005. We look back and we can say it was a faith adventure. I mean, as a church, we had a similar year of excitement as we have watched the hand of God upon us. Every year is a faith adventure for us, and God keeps deepening that relationship that we have with Him, and I praise God for that. As I was thinking back in this past year, I thought of things like in March we met together and we came together and unified in vision and in purpose. And this year we've walked through meetings with got to know our neighbors a little better. We've got to know the city council well. And all the while, we know that God has not left us. Through whatever we have walked through, God has not walked away from us. He has drawn us closer together. He has unified us even greater as His people. And we realize the importance of our ministry for Him even more. Amen? But if you had to think about the year 2005 and look back, what would you consider the top priority in your life? That's the question. And that's a huge question, and maybe one you need some time to think about. What is your top priority? Because at this time of year, we make New Year's resolutions, don't we? Which end up actually turning into New Year revolutions or revolting somehow. Because we can't seem to fathom the possible solution that there can be for a new year. And in fact, I got this little tidbit of information which you might find interesting. It's a comparison of years. The year 1981 to the year 2005. And I don't know if you've caught this yet, but the year 1981, Prince Charles got married. That was the first thing. Second thing, Liverpool crowned soccer champions of Europe. Thirdly, Australia lost the Ashes tournament. And fourthly, the Pope died. That was all in 1981. Isn't that amazing? Now, the year 2005, Prince Charles got married. Liverpool crowned soccer champions of Europe. Australia lost the Ashes tournament. And the Pope died. So in the future, if Prince Charles decides to marry, please warn the Pope. All right? Okay, that was pretty sad, I tell you. I have to stoop to that level. Man. I want you to grab your pen and flip open your Bibles to the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to take an old look at a new year. I mean, we need more than ever a solution to carry us through the slug of it all, the faith adventure, I call it. And this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote centuries ago to a group of growing Christians really is the formula for us today. He begins this chapter by saying something wonderful. And look at this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure." And then the Apostle Paul, he pinpoints characteristics of his life, of his ministry in Thessalonica. And in doing so, he presents three wonderful priorities which encompass the old start in which we require for this new year. An old start for the new year requires these three things. What it means is, an old start for the new year means, first of all, a commitment to hold on to the Word of God. The Apostle Paul looks back over the weeks that they'd spent together, and he and these growing Christian believers, and he recalls his initial impressions with them. And look at verse 2 of this passage. He says, "We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts." It looks right in here. There's a lot going on during this time. What was going on in Paul's mind was opposition from the public, but it was the gospel of God that he shared. The very foundation of Paul's being was not error, it wasn't impurity, it wasn't deceit, but rather the truth of the scriptures. The Apostle Paul considered the Word of God as something entrusted to him. And it gave him such security, such confidence. And I look this past year, I know that the public eye has been searching for security. The public has been searching for confidence. Not anything that what we have done, but through everything God has completed, we find that security. God has been proclaimed through our faith as a people. I mean, you know, we've walked through a lot this past year. We were saddened, we were shocked at many times throughout the year. We grieved at times, we were joyful at times. Serve 2005 happened this past year. We all went crazy as a whole bunch of young people, you know. It was a great time, wasn't it? You think of these things. But we want to feel secure. More than anything else, we want to feel secure. And if we really want to dig into our being, we would realize that we need more than ever security right here. Now, even though it may sound old-fashioned, the first and foremost significant priority that we can cultivate is to make the scriptures a part of our life. We need to take the Bible off the shelf, and we need to start digging to the Word of God. Listen, this is the old start that is required for this new year. If we ever hope to journey together in unity and purpose, we must be unified in a commitment to the Word of God. And I'm not just talking about us here. I'm talking about the universal church, people of God. Only the life-giving, the life-changing Word of God can solve what it is that we walk through. It's always about Him. I find it interesting that being committed to reading the Bible is so old it's new. For sure, it's rare. And maybe that's because when you read the Bible, there's something happens. You can't help but start examining yourself. And often we tend to just kind of shy away from that kind of stuff because we would rather just push down all of the garbage inside of us instead of deal with it. And God wants for you, more than anything, God wants for you a fresh peace. And the only way that we can ever accomplish that is just by dusting off our old Bible cover and committing to reading His Word, digging back into the Word of God. Well, let's pull out our magnifiers, and I want you to see close to the end of that verse 4. I want you to see this. End of verse 4. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. Right here. This thing that goes boom, boom, boom. I believe that's why it seems like this. Look at what H. Martin says. Look at this. Put it up there. I've reached that age when a good day is one when you get up and nothing hurts. Huh? How many of you can identify? I can identify with that. Don't tell Kate, but I can. She always says I'm younger. You say I'm younger than you or older? I'm older than you. Okay. To check that out. See, there's three things I'll never forget. Anyway, we seem to, in each given day, concern ourselves with new worries, and we get so wrapped up in our worries that we don't even notice what's happening around us. See, if we would only take the Bible off the shelf, allow the truth of God's book to just saturate us. For all the negative things that we have to say to ourselves, God has a positive answer for each one. You know that? Now, you might say, add some stuff. You might say it's impossible. God says all things are possible in Luke 18. You might say, well, I'm too tired. God says, I'll give you rest, Matthew 11. You say, well, nobody really loves me. God says, I love you, John 3:16 and John 13:34. You say, well, I can't go on. God says, my grace is sufficient in 2 Corinthians 12 and Psalm 91. You say, well, I can't figure things out. God says, I will direct your steps, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. You say, well, I can't do it. God says, you can do all things, Philippians 4, 13. You say, well, I'm not able. God says, I am able, 2 Corinthians 9, 8. You say, it's not worth it. God says, it will be worth it, Romans 8, 28. You say, well, I can't forgive myself. God says, I forgive you. 1 John 1, 9, Romans 8, 1. You say, well, I can't manage. God says, I will supply all your needs. Philippians 4, 19. You say, well, I'm afraid. God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1, 7. You say, well, I'm always worried and frustrated. God says, cast all your cares on me. 1 Peter 5, 7. You say, I'm not smart enough. God says, I'll give you wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1, 30. You say, I feel all alone. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13, 5. You see, we start to think negative, but God has something positive to say. Isn't that descriptive? Our lifestyle is shaped by the Word of God. Our very living, our very nature, who we are, is all shaped by the Word of God. The Word of God is definitely an old start to a new year. The old start for the new year requires a commitment to hold on to the Word of God, but also a challenge to be who God created you to be. I love the way the Apostle Paul talks about himself. Focus your eyeglasses on verses 5 and 6. If you don't have eyeglasses, then your contacts. Look at this. You know, he says, you know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you, or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you. Now, with Paul, what you see is what you got. I mean, he peeled off all the masks, all the cover-ups. He stood vulnerably before God and others. And even though he was an apostle, a genuine first century bigwig, he didn't push for the limelight. He resisted abusing his power and his privilege. And really, this is just an old start, but be yourself this new year. Be who you are. Think about how our world pushes for the limelight. I mean, in fact, within churches today, the limelight is often pursued. Power is heightened and ever on the increase in church. True, authentic Christianity is soon lost when we throw a pinch of power into the picture. In fact, Bible scholars point out, and I got to throw this out because I want you to see how authoritarian it can be, point out that the New Testament concept of authority is the Greek word exousia. Can you say it with me? Exousia. Say it. Exousia. Okay, you guys are Greek scholars now. Did you know that? Exousia does not have the connotation of jurisdiction over the lives of other people. Rather, exousia is the authority of truth, the authority of wisdom, experience, which can be evidenced in a leader who's held up as a special example, who can commend himself to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Leaders are meant to help others become the people God created them to be. That's a leader. You're starting to think that you're that kind of a leader. Unfortunately, you're not. Because then you're too proud to be that kind of leader. You think you are one. You see, there's a very fine line. This is right there, you see. Then you see the line. Can you see? There's a line. Are you getting... Okay, no. The Apostle Paul, he could have easily taken unfair advantage of his role as an apostle. I'm an apostle. Listen, sit. You know. He could have demanded, he could have commanded, he could have thrown his weight around. But instead, he was a strong believer in the scriptures, and in turn, he was authentic. He was who he said he was. As we look at the new year 2006, let's make this a priority. I know this is so simple because it's an old biblical truth. Be whom God created you to be. But it's so necessary for this new year. Let's realize life is short. We need to enjoy who God created us to be. Let's be authentic. Let's be real. Let's be real Christians. Robert Wise, pastor of a church in Oklahoma City, had a friend. He used to call him on the phone on Monday mornings, and Robert Wise would pick up the phone, and his friend would say, "Hello, this is God. I have a gift for you today. I want to give you the gift of failing. Today you do not have to succeed. I grant that to you." And then his friend would hang up, and Robert Wise would just sit there 10 minutes. I'm not going to do that for 10 minutes, but that's what he'd do. He's staring at the wall. What? I can fail today. I can actually fail. See, you don't have to be the greatest thing to the world. Just be you, which is the greatest thing for the world. St. Francis of Assisi, you've heard me say it before, he said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." That's what it's about. Just be who God created you to be. Authentic people enjoy life more than most people. They don't take themselves so seriously. They can laugh their heads off. With the Bible as our foundation, how can you be but anything but whom God created you to be? I know it's an old start for the new year, but the old start for the new year requires a commitment to hold on to the Word of God, a challenge to be who God created you to be, and a compassionate example. Now look at verse 7. We're winding down. "But we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you've become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed." See, although Paul had met with this young church only on three Sabbaths, he longed for them like a parent longs for a child. I think it's sadly becoming increasingly harder for us to understand that in a society today because parents no more long for their children. We need to long for our children. Demonstrate a compassion to them like no other. The church especially needs to be a place where children are longed for. As Paul mentored his children, he developed a coaching relationship with them. And children in the sense of God's children. Look how descriptive this is. You can't get in more illustrated than the Word of God. Look at this. Paul cared for others as a nursing mother, verse 7. He shared not only the good news, but he also shared his very life with them, verse 8. He worked hard not to be a burden to them, verse 9. He strove to be an example while among them, verse 10. If you look at verse 11, he dealt with them in their needs as a father does. And verse 12, he encouraged them to live up to their potential as God's children. Paul was a compassionate example. of high priority to this capable, brilliant man of God was a gracious, compassionate attitude. That where I was just like, if he walked into a room, everybody would want to sit by him because he was so compassionate. You see, he wasn't interested in dumping a truckload of theological doctrinal data on people. The Apostle Paul wanted to share not only the gospel, he wanted to share his life with people. Now, how we react to people is such an old start, but so necessary for a new year. You see, I have to tell you, I get startled when I hear more about the evangelical church more than anything else. And this is what I hear. I feel it's the worst criticism at all. This is what people are saying. We lack compassion. Not I'm not talking about first. I'm talking about in general. We lack compassion. Because we're more abrasive, more judgmental, and than thoughtful, than tactful, than compassionate, than tolerant. If we aren't careful, we tend to use people rather than love them, don't we? We try to change them, and later on, if they're changed well enough, then we'll help them, rather than accept them as they are. I've got to tell you, we're never more like Jesus when we're a compassionate example to other people, no matter who they are. Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He met people as they were, not as they ought to be. Angry young men, blind beggars, proud politicians, loose-living streetwalkers, murderers, dirty, naked victims of demonism, grieving parents. They all got equal time with Jesus. And they still do. They all hung on his every word. He could have blown them away with his knowledge, with his authority, but he purposely stayed on their level. Jesus is the greatest example of compassion with purpose. And that's what this table's about. That's what this table's about. This table, it's all wrapped up right here. This is the greatest compassionate example I know of giving your life away for someone who doesn't deserve it. And that's me. Well, those three requirements are old starts. We're familiar with them. We've heard them before, but they're so necessary for a new year. Now, this month we're looking at our mission, basically, as a church. And next week you're going to have a great time. I mean, it's going to be great hearing Serge LeClaire from Teen Challenge. You've got to be here. Bring your friends. It's going to be a potluck. The challenge is for us to reach out and be compassionate. That's our mission. That's our target as a church, is to reach out with compassion. So necessary for us to have these three requirements, these old starts for this new year. And it's all wrapped so that, as verses 12 and 13 say here, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men. That one of the greatest joys that we've had over the year 2005 is ministering with you and for you. Truly, we love you all. Do we pray for you? And we're looking forward to 2006. By the way, it's already here, in case you're wondering. But we are. Let's pray together. Well, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Maybe you're just kind of wondering where to go from here. Maybe you're kind of wondering I've kind of read the Bible. Or maybe you're reading the Bible every day. Maybe you're wondering why I never saw those positive solutions to the negative stuff going on. Maybe you just need to ask God to open up your eyes and open your ears more to hear him. I don't know. Maybe you need to be who God created you to be and quit with the phoniness. I don't know. Or maybe you just need to be more compassionate to people. I don't know where God is dealing with you today, but talk to him. Allow him to shape you into the person that he wants you to be, not the person you want to be. And allow yourself to impact the world. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you, if you're coming to God in some way today, talking to Him, just lift your hand. Just lift it up, saying, God, I'm talking to you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees those hands. God sees them. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees them. Maybe today you're here and you've heard about Jesus Christ. Maybe your friends have talked to you about who Jesus is and talked to you about how He can forgive you. But you've never come to Him. You've never said, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I give you my heart today. I give you my heart. I want to be a Christian. You've never said that because you've thought it's always been rules and obligations, but that's not God. God just loves you, and He wants to forgive you. But you got to come to Him and ask Him. Maybe you want to take that free gift today and accept Him into your heart. And while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're coming to Him, you're saying, Lord, I just want you to forgive me. I give you my heart today. Just lift your head up. Just lift your head up. It'll further underline the commitment you're making. Lord, bless you. Just lift your head. Just lift your head up if you're saying to Him, forgive me, I give you my heart today. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Father, we're going to come to this table, the table you have so fittingly given to us. And Lord, we can't understand that kind of love because it's this very sacrificial kind of love. And while we try, God, we try. We just pray that as we celebrate together today, that you would continue to unify us in your spirit and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.